And it's fundamental to what you think about money. Money's great. But it has the opportunity to release you or to bind you. To free you or to suffocate you. And it has the power to do immeasurable good. And we've probably all seen that. But it also has the ability to keep you imprisoned in a way of living that will restrict the kingdom life within you. Because God has got nothing for you but freedom. It is never His plan to keep you bound, to keep you restricted. And what we're going to talk about today is about freedom. You might expect me to have a half-bloom, white-painted face and run about shouting freedom, but I'm not Australian, and therefore I'm not overly interested in that. But money's really important. And last week, we talked about how God owns everything. It's His. We get to have it for a while. If you believe that God's the creator of all things, then it's a no-brainer. It's His. We just get to look after it for a wee while. But when we recognise that we're just here to steward or manage His stuff, it brings us freedom. It's not our stuff. We get to manage it, steward it, and bless other people with it. And that is an incredible way to live our lives. You can live your life that way. But do you know what? None of us have all of this sorted. None of us. And I said last week, and you might have went away and thought, that's some statement, and it really is. But if you nail this, you have a better chance of nailing everything else in your life. It's kind of like when you get hold of something, you want to keep hold of it for security. My precious. Have you seen Lord of the Rings? Have you read the book? Well, Gollum has the ring. His identity becomes wrapped up in that. That's his precious thing. And we get like that sometimes when we don't trust as much as we should. If we say we're all in, but hold this stuff back, then we're not really all in, are we? It's kind of like the hokey cokey. Do you remember the hokey cokey? You put your whole self in, your whole self out. That's as much for dancing as you're getting from me. But you put your whole self in. You need to put your whole self in, don't you? Your whole self. Do you know, there is a bit where you put your right arm in, you're right, do you know? But it's your whole self. Are you putting your whole self into this? Or are you just putting your right arm, your right leg, your left leg, know your whole self? And I believe that God really wants to free us so that we don't have to be uptight about the things that we have. And I also believe that God wants to free us that we can be lavishly generous because we know and trust that God is a giver. He made us in His image. He's a giver. He created us. He made us in His image that we would be givers too. You know the whole thing about people, you can be a giver or a taker. People will recognise us for being different if we're givers rather than takers, won't they? You see these people, and I'm not going to mention any people that by name, but do you know when people that have got a reputation for being ruthless and they just take, take, take all the time? People are suffering at their hands. People recognise them. They get a reputation. What about if we get a reputation for being givers? Like, whoa. You know they're Christians. How do you know that? Have you not seen how they give? And they give. And they give. Selflessly. Lavishly. And that's who God has made us to be. Excuse me. It's not about you giving to the Lakes Vineyard. It's about giving to God. Giving back to Him what He gave you in the first place. But if this is your church home, then this is your storehouse. You give into the storehouse, and then from the storehouse, it gives out to other things. But it's about giving to God. God is the most important thing, and it's the attitude from in here that we give to God. You're not giving to this place. Well, you are, but you're giving to God. Because we seek to further the work that God has called us to do, and we want to give our stuff to Him. He doesn't need your money. It's the principle. It's the giving back to God what's already His. It's His in the first place. He just asked us to watch it for Him. He wants to pour out abundantly. Note that word. The vast resources of heaven. But He won't do that until we recognise that we're not the owners, that He is. So you think of it like that. The vast, He wants to pour out abundantly the vast resources. So there's vast resources, and He wants to pour out those vast resources abundantly. That suggests to me an awful lot. Not just a bit, but the vast resources and abundance. That's what He wants to pour out. And if we do what He's called us to do, He'll honour us for honouring Him so much that we don't have the room to store the stuff that He blesses us with. Can you imagine God blessing you with so much because you've gave back to Him what's originally His in the first place, that you don't have the room to store it? Think of that. Think of that. The law of the kingdom is this: if we give back to Him, He'll give us even more. Now, that doesn't mean that we get it's a quick get rich quick thing. He'll give, and we said this last week, He will give, and He'll give us abundantly, and then in that abundance we can have influence. Christians need to be influential. If we are influential, we get to change the society of which we part. That's another way that we can unlock our environments that we looked at for the last few weeks. But if we don't give what we have, even what we have will be taken from us. That's a scary concept, isn't it? You know, in the parable of the talents, where one is given five talents, one's given one. The one that's given the one talent goes and hides it in the ground. But the other two people go and multiply theirs. They take a risk, but they do something with it. They put it to work. Because it's not theirs. But they feel that they need to honour the one who has given. But the one who doesn't do the right thing, even what he has, is taken from him. Do you want what you have to be taken? I'm sure you don't. And so you have 100% of your stuff. which isn't really your stuff because you're just watching it. But you're kind of like, it's mine. My precious. It's not really yours. And the Lord has given you the 100%. All he's asking is you to honour him and give him back 10 of the 100. You get to keep the other 90, and then he'll bless you even more. That's a great deal. But usually we look at it and we think, it's too much. It's too much. Do you know you have everything you need for life and godliness? Everything. And it's here now. We've been given everything that we need. But we just need to leverage what we've got. But God has gave us the resources, but he asks us the question, does it belong to me? Who does it belong to? Are you going to get free with this stuff, or are you going to continue to be bound by it? And if we choose to carry the burden of our finances upon ourselves, our own shoulders, for the rest of our lives, it's going to be heavy. And you're going to be miserable. Because you're going to be watching constantly. How do we deal with this? What do we do with that? How do we do this? How do we do that? Rather than trusting in him. Trust in him. Put your trust in him with what it is that he's gave you. If we recognise that he owns it, he'll give us the strategies that we need to free our lives in a way that you can enjoy your life and be blessed and bless other people. Some of us were at a conference over the weekend, and it was called Culture of Honour, and it was about honouring people. It was great. It was really good. But there was something that really stood out for me the other night. And it was this person was there, and they had just come back from being on mission. And do you know, there's two ways to look at this. You've got a cheek. You really have got a cheek. The amount of money we paid to come to this conference, and you're asking for more money. Nah, I've had it up to here with you lot. I'm out of here. Or you can say, do you know what? God, you blessed us with what we have, and I want to bless somebody else with what it is that you've gave me to give back to you, to honour you. And so what they did was, so everybody paid their conference fee to get there. And then they had this person come up the front, told their story, and everybody was just like, oh. Not out of pity, but, oh, the Lord is using you in such an amazing way. And if we can help you to bless the people that you work with even better, we want to be involved. And you know what they did? People just came in their droves, didn't they? It took a while, didn't it? And these people just came. And they done it kind of like African Pentecostal style, you know, where they had a big table at the front and people just walked down and they just started sticking money on the table. And I'm talking, people weren't shy. It was fantastic. And you're just sitting and you've seen this pile of money getting bigger and seeing the person on the stage getting redder because they were just like, not that they were embarrassed, well maybe they were a bit, but they were just like, this is amazing. They were in awe, and apparently this person is usually no loss for words. They were speechless. Because people gave out of the vast resources that God had gave them. They were free. They weren't bound. There might have been some people in that room who were. But it's a journey. It's a process. God wants to bring that freedom. But I've already gave my 10% this month. How dare you ask me for anything else? Read your Old Testament. Tithing was the beginning. Then there was your offerings over and above that. And I know somebody who actually worked this out percentage-wise. This will scare you. But do you know what the actual percentage of income that the people were given? It was somewhere in the region of 23.3%. 23, still better off than the Mormons. Now they have to give 25. 23.3%. It's not about the amount. It's not about the percentage. It's about this. It's about your heart. Why are you giving? You're giving because you can, because you know that God has blessed you with an abundance that you can bless somebody else. They ended up doing it again last night, and I thought, what? This is becoming a bit of a tradition. I didn't really think that, but it could get like that. But it was for somebody else. And I thought, whoa. And people just came again in their droves. And there was a lot of tears and a lot of joy and happiness in the room. But they just gave, and people came. And I think last night was even busier than the night before. And they just kept coming. You know, there was a queue to get to the front to give your money. It was funny, wasn't it? There was a queue to give your money. I loved that. What freedom. And God wants to bring that freedom to every single one of us. Wherever you invest your money, your heart will follow. It's true, and you know it's true. And Jesus says, wherever you put your money, that's where your heart will be. Isn't it? We do know this is true, don't we? Is this a thunderbolt, a lightning bolt, a complete revelation to you? It's no, is it? We know this. Wherever you put your money, that's where your heart will be. So I have a question. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve money? And you're like, oh, come on, John, you were doing so well. That's kind of harsh. Think about it, though. Who are you going to serve? You know, if you read what Paul says in Timothy, he says, do you know, it's all right to have stuff. But just remember who it belongs to in the long run. You can have things. If you honour me with your things and your stuff, and then you bless other people out of the abundance that you have, then have what you like. As long as your heart's right in this, as long as you're honouring me and what it is you do. And you know what? Making money isn't wrong either. I know some people who have this incredible gift, and I believe it is a gift from God, to generate income. But do you know the people who have that? I've never ever noticed any of those people that are Christians that are greedy. They understand the concept of blessing other people and giving it away and no possessing what God has gave them. God has blessed them, and they get so excited that God has blessed them that they want to bless other people. I want that in every one of our lives. It's so good. But if you begin to love money, and you stand the weight of your life in money, if you begin to worship money or make it the security of your life, then not only are you unwise, and you think the last thing I said was harsh, it's evil. It's evil. That's what Paul and Jesus are getting at. How does our culture cope with a statement like that? Jesus uses the word mammon. You're like, oh, John, King James. But it's the Aramaic word, mammon. You can't love God and mammon. And John Milton, who wrote Paradise Lost, and he was a poet, he wrote about the demon mammon. And I don't think he was far from the truth. And I'll tell you why. There was a Syrian Babylonian god called Mammon. And we need to understand that Mammon was the Babylonian god of money and things and possessions. And the setup was a wee bit like this. The Babylonians, now the Babylonians were the superpower of the day. They were like the United States of that time, okay? Because the United States is a superpower, right? We don't need God. We just need us. We need ourselves. What we need is riches and competence and capacity. So what we'll do is we'll create this God called Mammon who will encapsulate all that stuff and we'll worship that. We can be the masters of our own destiny, but we'll just create this thing and that we'll go for that. We'll worship. That'll be the thing that we'll focus our lives on. It's an ancient thought and a present reality, isn't it? Sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Because that's what the world still does, although we don't call it mammon. Yeah. We're post-God, we're beyond God, we don't need God, we'll just worship money and things and stuff and it's good. We'll build our lives around that because that will be the epitome of success. Then Jesus says this, you can either worship that or you can worship God, the real God that is God. And some people are faced with a big choice. I have my security and my stuff. Do I need to give up my stuff to be able to worship God? And when Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The word camel in Greek is very similar to rope. But imagine trying to put a bit of rope through a physical needle. That doesn't work either. It's never really going to work. But for God, nothing's impossible. It's easier for the rope to go through that needle than it is for somebody who worships their wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. Try it. Go home. And we're not talking about a big ship rope here, right? But go home and get your washing line. And get a darning needle, because that's quite big, isn't it? I'm being gracious here. And try and put your washing line through the darning needle. Give me a phone next year and see if you've got there. You'll be frustrated and probably incredibly unhappy. Probably really annoyed with me, but it's not going to happen, is it? Nope. And similarly, if you worship money and stuff and things, it's not going to happen. You can't base your eternal security on that. Do you know? Is life about your competency, about your capacity? I'm going to do what I want. That's mammon, isn't it? That's worshipping something else or worshipping you. But everything that's submitted to God is used to serve him and not replace him is blessed by God. I want everything in my life, everything in your life, to be blessed with God. So where are you going to apportion your trust and your wealth? Because Jesus, quite bluntly, you think I'm bad? He says, you can't worship both. You can't serve both. So the attitude, I earned it, I owned it, it's mine. Are you a steward or are you the owner? Is it God or is it mammon? And I'm going to finish with this. And I said this last year when we looked at this same series. Mammon's got two cousins. Prosperity and poverty. Prosperity, another word for that can just be pride, can it? I have it. I grabbed it. I earned it. I own it. I deserve it. I'll flaunt it. I'll show it. Live it. I deserve it. I earned it. Look at me. Am I not doing well in life? That's what it is. It's pride. Let's no wrap it up in something that it's not. That's what it is. It's pride. And if you carry a spirit of prosperity, people will notice. But when you carry that, it's all about you. It's all about you. That's what it is. It's all about you. It then stops being about Jesus. It's about you. And that's, friends, materialism. That's when we start to get materialistic. That's when we start to worship stuff. When we become like Golem. And it suffocates you. Because that starts to become your focus. And it's difficult when you have so much stuff to try and maintain it. And then you start to compare. And it's keeping up with the Joneses. And, oh, they have that, therefore I have to have this. And they have that, and I have to have that. And they have this, and I want to have this. Comparison comes out of pride and prosperity. Prosperity sucks. It demotes God, and it promotes you. It's all about you. I made it happen. Really? And then poverty is the complete opposite. It's not for the like of me. I don't deserve it. I shouldn't have that. I mustn't want it. I'll never amount to this. Poverty is hide it, miss it, deny it, lie about it. Don't know why I'm in this position, but I am. God has got so much more for you than that. About denial. It's not mine. I just borrowed it. Such and such owns this. It's not really mine. You ever done that? Because you're embarrassed of something that you have. You get a new thing. I would love for every one of you to get new stuff. And enjoy your new stuff. Like it. Don't worship it, but just think, do you know what? I have this. I really like it. It's great. Because God has honoured me. He's blessed my life so abundantly that I'm able to have this. Look, it's nice and shiny, look. And do you know what? I didn't get it in the sale. I paid the full price. Unashamedly. Do you know why? Because I can afford to, because God blessed me. Because I'm still blessing other people, but God blessed me enough that I can have this. Look, there's the receipt, full price. How good is that? Because then you're no wrapped up in materialism. You have freedom in what it is. If you're going to be holy, you don't need to be poor. Holiness is about wholeness. You don't have to be poor to be holy. It's holy to be poor and shun materialism and possessions. It's no. It's false humility. And poverty is just as dangerous to your heart as prosperity. You'll never become a steward. It's abdication of responsibility. Do you want to stand? I don't want to abdicate my responsibility. I want to grasp it with both hands and recognize it's mine and say this: God, you gave me a job, you gave me a role to fulfill, and it's to be a steward of that which you gave me. And I want to steward it wisely. And so this morning, and I was going over stuff again, and I was thinking, okay, how do we do this? Lord, what is it that's really happening? And this is hard, but I have to tell you. And we have to be honest. I have to be honest. I can't expect you to do something if I'm not willing to do it first. I need to go for this. But here's what I think that the Lord wants to do. There are people here, and I'm not going to call you this, but other people have said you're a control freak. You have this desire to be in control. If that's you, that's the Lord wants to change that. You don't need to be a control freak. Let him be in control. Let him be in charge. Let him bring freedom to where you currently feel you need to control. Because if you give him the freedom, you won't be bound any longer. Who are you controlling? What are you controlling? You're in bondage. You feel the tightness of that. You feel the anxiety of that. You feel the pressure of that. You feel the weight of that on your life. God wants to bring freedom from that. And I understand that a lot of that control can be related to how you were brought up or due to past or present circumstances. But that's not what God has for you. He wants to bring freedom from that. You don't need to be in control. He wants to be in control. Are you all in? Are you doing the hokey cokey, just sticking your arm and your leg in? Or are you all in? He wants the whole of you in. He doesn't even want all of you apart from that wee box. He wants everything. He demands everything from you. He gave everything for you. So why don't you give everything to him? So I'm not saying that you come and you empty your bank account and you give it to God. That's not what I mean. But let him be in control and honour him with your stuff. And then when he says, "You, here's the 10%, I want you to give that," do that. And then if you want to give more over and above that, that's between you and him. But like we looked at last week in Malachi, where it says, challenge me in this and see if I will not bless you abundantly. And he'll pour out the vast resources of heaven just for honouring him with that which he gave you in the first place. It's his. Honour him with his stuff and he'll give you more stuff. You need to let go. You need to stop being in control and let him be in control. Father, I pray your